Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Act Like a Leader, Think Like a Leader, updated edition of the global bestseller with a new preface, revised, by Herminia Ibarra, narrated by Siri Scott. Publisher's note: this audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material. All figures and tables referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Thinking is for doing, S.T. Fisk. How can I know what I think until I see what I do? Adapted from Carl Weick. Preface. In 2014, a year before the first edition of this book was published, a soft-spoken, bespectacled 47-year-old engineer took charge as CEO of one of the world's most storied companies. What followed would make business case study history. The engineer's mandate was transformation. The organization's performance had followed a pattern that was becoming all too common across the business world. Great success with a breakout product or service, followed by years of complacency, rigidity, and political infighting that had destroyed the firm's capacity for innovation, precisely at the time when the forces for disruption, rung by the likes of Amazon, Apple, and Google, were unleashing their fiercest challenges. The new CEO's predecessors could not have been more different from their successor. One was a precocious, not very good with people, inventor. The other, a driven, intense, in-your-face salesman who often spoke as if on the verge of cardiac arrest. Both were known for a management style based on pushing employees to the brink with their precision questioning and cultivating a circle of insiders loyal to the way we've always done things around here. "I'll do it very differently if you select me," said Satya Nadella as he neared the final stage of a closely watched Microsoft succession contest. And indeed, he did. As he assembled his top team, for example, he gave each member a copy of one of his favorite books, Principles of Nonviolent Communication. Make no mistake, Nadella also delivered clear bottom-line results, as you'll, too, need to deliver. He and his team led a change process that catapulted Microsoft back to its position as the most valuable publicly traded company in the world. The flat share price of the previous decade, which hovered in the low 30s at the start of 2014, peaked at $339.89 on November 19, 2021, a rise of more than 600% since Nadella took over. And Microsoft didn't accomplish this by selling more Windows licenses. The big, lumbering giant sprouted a second growth engine, based on cloud technology and artificial intelligence, a very different business than selling licenses for a commodity product, one that today generates an annualized run rate of $100 billion in revenue. But the real lessons for us here are not about strategy and technology, but about leadership up and down any organization, big or small. These lessons have significant implications as you, the listener, step up to bigger leadership roles and greater impact in a world that needs you to be an agent for change. What Nadella spearheaded was a deep transformation that shifted the organization's values and its people's priorities from valuing flawless execution on things they already knew how to do and could control and predict with ease, to learning how to do things they didn't yet know how to do, in collaboration with new partners they didn't know how to work with, in an iterative process in which they would inevitably make mistakes until they got it right. That's the new landscape today for all of us. We need to shift, as Nadella told his organization, from being know-it-alls, experts who succeed by dint of their technical, functional, or scientific expertise, to being learn-it-alls, especially when it comes to the world outside our organizations, starting with the customer. Be a learner, not just a stellar performer, was Nadella's message, and it's also mine. It's not a trivial challenge, as we'll see, because, of course, learning means allowing that you haven't gotten it right just yet. 5 universal lessons for stepping up to a bigger impact. The story of how Microsoft transformed itself has been told in many places, including my own worldwide, best-selling London Business School case study. Its lessons for aspiring leaders can be broken down into 5 parts that correspond to the key takeaways and 5 chapters in this book. Today, more than ever, what got you here won't get you there, whether you are a leader or a company. Our core strengths are more dangerous than ever because we overplay them, sticking to them even when the game has changed, at the cost of failing to learn new tricks. Moving from strength to new strength requires increasing your outsight, the term I use for learning by doing new and different things. The place to start is to redefine your job. As a leader, your most valued resources are your time and attention. How are you spending them? At Microsoft, for example, people were encouraged to refocus on the customer and the product, rather than on politicized, time-consuming internal processes, measured on their contribution to their team's impact and trained to become better people managers. They were taught to say no to low-value-adding activities that had consumed their time in the past. No matter what your day job is, working nimbly across organizational boundaries and shaping the work context and culture so that your people can contribute their best selves is today's new job description. Your network, the people you surround yourself with, and with whom you exchange information, will be vital. But it's impossible to do new and different things while interacting with the usual suspects in the same old circles. You need fresh outside on your job and on yourself, and that means making an effort to extend your network so that you are exposed to new thinking and doing. For example, Nadella shocked his team by inviting some unusual participants to the annual Top Management Strategy Offsite meeting. The young, hoodie-wearing CEOs of the tiny tech companies Microsoft acquired, people many formal layers below the top team, who thought differently enough to be worth listening to. Today, how you connect with people, how you show up and relate to others, matters more than ever. We know that. But as you step up to bigger leadership roles, the need to be sensitive to our impact on others can feel like a challenge to your sense of authentic self. That's why you'll also need to be more playful with your sense of self, giving yourself permission to deviate from who you've always been for the sake of learning. Here, too, Nadella offers an example of the need to work on who you are. One of the qualities he wanted to inculcate at Microsoft was empathy, a capacity that did not come naturally to him. But reflecting on difficult experiences, including his son's cerebral palsy, taught him the value of empathy, and he worked hard to develop it, ultimately making it the cornerstone of his leadership style and customer focus. The process of changing yourself or your organization is inherently uncertain. Changes need to be made provisionally and then adjusted because you are learning as you go along. That's why it's vital to embrace a stepping up process that is iterative and allows for learning from the inevitable setbacks and insights you'll experience along the way. The world has changed, and so must your leadership. When Act Like a Leader, Think Like a Leader came out in 2015, Most leadership books still focused on leadership style, how you do what you do, how much you delegate, and how much you listen, all critically important. But few were asking what you were doing in those more or less productive or empowering ways. The digital revolution and the resulting organizational disruption changed that. How you define your job, and therefore how you spend your time, became the focus as managers and professionals the world over tackled digital transformation and its corollary, a concerted effort to better know and serve the customer. That shift made patently clear the mismatch between the activities born from most legacy organizations' needs for efficient execution, and that consume so much of our time, and those we'd have to invest in instead to meet the new innovation imperatives. The mismatch creates a little head disturbance for all of us, since, realistically, we have to deliver on both. One more reason this book aims to help you be more intentional about how you define your job. And of course, the COVID-19 pandemic accelerated the disruption, exponentially increasing the need for new business models, new ways of working, and new technologies. While ideas that were met with resistance or skepticism, for example, working from home, a mere 3 years ago, are now daily practice. Companies across the world are still trying to figure out a new normal, particularly when it comes to leading hybrid and remote teams and motivating a workforce upended by high quit rates and low engagement. The thing with innovation is that it's new. Because you don't yet know what you're doing, you have to experiment. The word experiment in itself marks a revolution. Ideas like fast prototyping, beta testing, minimal viable products, and design thinking are now mainstream and shape what all of us do, not just product people. They have vast implications for the work of leaders at all levels, shifting what you are supposed to do from knowing to learning. A premium on adaptability. Let's be clear. Although digital transformation is still an ongoing and essential task in many organizations, today's leadership challenges far exceed the promise and peril of artificial intelligence. With Black Lives Matter, the Me Too movement, a global pandemic, rising urgency over the environment, geopolitical turmoil, supply chain wars, and much more, the focus has shifted to our ability to work collaboratively on what Harvard Kennedy School professor Ronald Heifetz calls adaptive challenges, complex situations with entrenched, systemic roots for which there isn't an obvious answer or clear choice. Solving the problem requires the brain power and engagement of everyone, not just the top management. While organizational change has been a constant as far back as I can remember, the way we do, or should do, change, the defining job of leaders, has also changed beyond recognition. In the old plan and implement days, top management set a vision, their teams figured out how to execute it, and a program of activities, deadlines, initiatives, communications, and training was rolled out, cascaded from top to bottom. For digital transformation, as the agile missionaries showed us, it was a catastrophe. Ditto for rethinking how, where, and when people work. When it comes to complex problems, change is all about experiment and learn, constantly tweaking and pivoting as new information and insights surface. But time and again, I see aspiring leaders struggle to get comfortable with the iterative method. As one executive said to me recently, if we have to change tack, doesn't it just mean that we got it wrong at the outset? This get it right from the outset mindset, as we'll see, is the enemy of both your development and your organization's flourishing. Today, more than ever, there is no alternative to acting your way into a new way of thinking. The Triumph of Soft Skills. The importance of soft skills, like listening, coaching, and empowering others, has been on the rise for some time, as organizations try to create more inclusive and productive work environments, a trend that has only accelerated in the post-pandemic period. If the COVID-19 pandemic taught us anything, it is the importance of knowing what matters most in our own lives, as well as those of our people, so that we are better equipped to provide the sense of purpose, meaning, and career opportunities that our employees have come to expect and that is so often lacking in organizational life. As new ways of working transform everything we do, qualities like empathy, kindness, and resilience will help us see and deal more effectively with the complex business problems coming our way. Faced with today's adaptive challenges, leaders should resist the urge to provide leadership mostly in the form of answers, and instead empower people throughout the organization to tackle the challenges together. That doesn't mean you won't be expected to deliver results, but you will have to supplement your industry, functional, or technical expertise with the so-called soft leadership skills that increase your own and your people's capacity for learning. You are not alone if you find yourself asking questions like, how do I motivate people when my team is fluid and the workplace is digital? How can I coach juniors to achieve their potential instead of spending all my time filling out historical evaluation forms? How do I make time for dealing with the stakeholders outside my work unit? How do I lead more inclusively? How do I retain talented people who have attractive options elsewhere and are fed up with bureaucracy? Working to master this new, softer skill set will help you find the answers and, in the process, transform how you approach your job, your network, and your own self-definition. My ongoing education. The thinking behind Act Like a Leader, Think Like a Leader has been powerfully validated and extended by my work over the years since it was published. The book came out the year I moved to London to begin my work at the London Business School. At LBS, I took over our Essentials of Leadership Executive program, which I have since handed over to my colleague, Ina Anazi, created a new core leadership course for our Sloan Fellows, mid-career students who take a year off to get a master's, launched our first-ever Women in Leadership program, and more recently, joined the faculty group delivering our senior executive program, geared toward our most experienced leaders. The ideas in this book formed the core of my curriculum in each and every case, allowing me a front-row seat to how they might be used to solve my students' challenges. Likewise, outside of LBS, I continue to work with dozens of companies every year to teach their people, from the most junior to the senior leadership team, how to use the Act Like a Leader, Think Like a Leader model to take charge of their own development. Most of my audiences are midway through their careers, on the verge of attaining senior executive roles, and thus they are in the throes of the "what got you here won't get you there" conundrum. Some organizations hire me to talk to their more junior individual contributors about stepping up now, while others bring me in to talk to the board and the top team about how they will need to change if their company is to really transform. All that has sparked new forthcoming research. One example is a new study in collaboration with Claudius Hildebrand and Sabine Vink of the executive search firm Spencer Stuart, looking at how C-suite succession contenders develop new leadership skills at the same time as they enter the limelight. We show that for anyone who's been successful by simply delivering results, the adaptation process is arduous. Making a leap from a lifetime of expert contributions and hands-on control to the more subtle processes of thinking systemically, working through networks, and leading more authentically is not a one-shot deal, and it does not happen overnight. As I write this preface, the book has been translated into 14 foreign languages, ranging from Arabic to Vietnamese. The Chinese translation alone has sold over 250,000 copies. We are just coming out of the global pandemic and its aftermath, which we have not even begun to understand. When I talk about act like a leader, think like a leader these days, the questions on everyone's lips are about hybrid work. For example, how do I lead when so much of my team is remote? Or how do I show empathy on a screen? More than ever, as I suspect will also be true in the future, it behooves you to increase your outsight. Redefine your job. Extend your network. Get more playful with yourself. You'll figure it out. Chapter 1. The Outsight Principle: How to Act and Think Like a Leader. "I'm like the fire patrol," says Jacob, a 35-year-old production manager for a mid-sized European food manufacturer. "I run from one corner to the other to fix things, just to keep producing." To step up to a bigger leadership role in his organization, Jacob knows he needs to get out from under all the operational details that are keeping him from thinking about important strategic issues his unit faces. He should be focused on issues such as how to best continue to expand the business, how to increase cross-enterprise collaboration, and how to anticipate the fast-changing market. His solution? He tries to set aside 2 hours of uninterrupted thinking time every day. As you might expect, this tactic isn't working. Perhaps you, like Jacob, are feeling the frustration of having too much on your plate and not enough time to reflect on how your business is changing and how to become a better leader. It's all too easy to fall hostage to the urgent over the important, but you face an even bigger challenge in stepping up to play a leadership role. You can only learn what you need to know about your job and about yourself by doing it, not by just thinking about it. Why the conventional wisdom won't get you very far. Most traditional leadership training or coaching aims to change the way you think, asking you to reflect on who you are and who you'd like to become. Indeed, introspection and self-reflection have become the holy grail of leadership development. Increase your self-awareness first. Know who you are. Define your leadership purpose and authentic self, and these insights will guide your leadership journey. There is an entire leadership cottage industry based on this idea, with thousands of books, programs, and courses designed to help you find your leadership style, be an authentic leader, and play from your leadership strengths while working on your weaknesses. If you've tried these sorts of methods, then you know just how limited they are. They can greatly help you identify your current strengths and leadership style, but as we'll see, your current way of thinking about your job and yourself is exactly what's keeping you from stepping up. You'll need to change your mindset, and there's only one way to do that: by acting differently. Aristotle observed that people become virtuous by acting virtuous. If you do good, you'll be good. His insight has been confirmed in a wealth of social psychology research showing that people change their minds by first changing their behavior. Simply put, change happens from the outside in, not from the inside out. Figure 1-1 can be found in the bonus PDF for this audiobook. As management guru Richard Pascal puts it, adults are more likely to act their way into a new way of thinking than to think their way into a new way of acting. So it is with leadership. Research on how adults learn shows that the logical sequence, think, then act, is actually reversed in personal change processes such as those involved in becoming a better leader. Paradoxically, we only increase our self-knowledge in the process of making changes. We try something new and then observe the results, how it feels to us, how others around us react, and only later reflect and perhaps internalize what our experience has taught us. In other words, we act like a leader and then think like a leader. Thus, the title of this book. How Leaders Really Become Leaders. Throughout my entire career as a researcher, an author, an educator, and an advisor, I have examined how people navigate important transitions at work. I have written numerous Harvard Business Review articles on leadership and career transitions, along with Working Identity, a book on the same topic. Interestingly, most of what I've learned about transitions goes against conventional wisdom. The fallacy of changing from the inside out persists because of the way leadership is traditionally studied. Researchers all too often identify high-performing leaders, innovative leaders, or authentic leaders, and then set out to study who these leaders are or what they do. Inevitably, the researchers discover that effective leaders are highly self-aware, purpose-driven, and authentic. But with little insight on how the leaders became that way, the research falls short of providing realistic guidance for our own personal journeys. My research focuses instead on the development of a leader's identity, how people come to see and define themselves as leaders. I have found that people become leaders by doing leadership work. Doing leadership work sparks two important interrelated processes, one external and one internal. The external process is about developing a reputation for leadership potential or competency. It can dramatically change how we see ourselves. The internal process concerns the evolution of our own internal motivations and self-definition. It doesn't happen in a vacuum, but rather in our relationships with others. When we act like a leader by proposing new ideas, making contributions outside our area of expertise, or connecting people and resources to a worthwhile goal, to cite just a few examples, people see us behaving as leaders and confirm as much. The social recognition and the reputation that develop over time with repeated demonstrations of leadership create conditions for what psychologists call internalizing a leadership identity. Coming to see oneself as a leader and seizing more and more opportunities to behave accordingly. As a person's capacity for leadership grows, so too does the likelihood of receiving endorsement from all corners of the organization by, for example, being given a bigger job. And the cycle continues. This cycle of acting like a leader and then thinking like a leader, of change from the outside in, creates what I call outsight. The outsight principle. For Jacob and many of the other people whose stories form the basis for this book, deep-seated ways of thinking keep us from making, or sticking to, the behavioral adjustments necessary for leadership. How we think, what we notice, believe to be the truth, prioritize, and value directly affects what we do. In fact, inside-out thinking can actually impede change. Our mindsets are very difficult to change because changing requires experience in what we are least apt to do. Without the benefit of an outside-in approach to change, our self-conceptions, and therefore our habitual patterns of thought and action, are rigidly fenced in by the past. No one pigeonholes us better than we ourselves do. The paradox of change is that the only way to alter the way we think is by doing the very things our habitual thinking keeps us from doing. This outside principle is the core idea of this book.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?